Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Gelotology is a study of laughter in multiple species. Over the years, multiple scientists have turned their attention toward laughter and other playful behaviors, not only if and as they occur, but also how they affect or reflect the well-being of the animal. Among the first, if not the first, to study laughter among dogs was Patricia Simonet and her team. At that time, she and her associates noted, as other researchers had in other species, that the kinds of vocalizations that occur when dogs are happy are distinctive from those that occur at other times. In some ways, at least to me, it's easy to differentiate laughter and panting in the dog. And the simplest way to do it is to just pant and laugh quietly to yourself and listen. So, for example, when I pant, it sounds like and when I laugh quietly, it sounds like perhaps on a recording, you can't tell the difference. But if you actually stood in front of a mirror and looked at yourself doing this, you could see the difference. When you're laughing, you're holding your lips and your facial muscles in a different, more relaxed way than when you're panting. So why don't we use canine laughter? As so often happens with studies that show playful or happy behavior in dogs, this one never caught on among the general public. Part of the reason for that may have been historical. It wasn't that long after Simonet and her group described their findings that the United States was plunged into the age of angst and anxiety by the events on September 11th. Additionally, at that time, animals gained a significant foothold as sources of human laughter, sources of human comfort, sources of all kinds of positive human emotions. And as ethicist Bernard Rowland pointed out, if I recall, in that same time frame, we have minimal interest in the welfare of our companion animals. Little attention is paid to it in companion animals compared to in food animals, captive wild animals, circus animals, or any other kind of animals. There is a certain amount of hubris among pet owners, and particularly dog owners, that convinces us that we know everything that we need to know about dogs, and moreover, we fulfill all those needs. And besides that, if we're depending on our dogs to make us happy, we don't have time to be concerned about whether they're happy. That's a shame, because laughing with your dog or listening to your dog laugh is a most rewarding experience. For example, as part of my daily exercise routine, which consists of primarily yoga with a smattering of some other stuff thrown in depending on my mood, I end in the corpse pose. Those of you familiar with yoga know that the corpse pose is a pose of total relaxation. Sprawled on the floor on your back and in that state somewhere between wakefulness and sleeping. Theoretically, when I assume the corpse pose, several things happen. One, Fricka comes over and first tentatively puts her two front paws on my chest. If I don't do anything, if I just keep breathing deeply in that sort of semi-awake, asleep, meditative state, then she puts the other two paws on me, then repositions herself so she's on my chest like a little sphinx, staring at me. I try to maintain my cool as long as I can, but inevitably I start to laugh. to soft laugh because I'm on my back and because she's right there. This isn't a gut buster. This is just a little laugh. And as soon as I do that, she does it. And as soon as the two of us start laughing, next thing you know, here comes Ollie. But Ollie being Ollie, his idea of laughter and fun is for someone to throw his ball. So he comes over with his ball, and then he drops his ball on my chest. I pick up the ball, I throw the ball, then Fricka licks me on the nose, then I laugh, then she laughs, and we all have a great good time. About this time, the cat figures out that there's good stuff going on that he's not involved in. So he comes over and he belts Fricka with his paw. Then she jumps down and the two of them roll around on the ground, and then Ollie takes advantage of the fact that he has his patented human ball thrower entirely to himself. And a good time is had by all. The other time I use laughter with my pets is paradoxical. I use it when I'm in a bad mood. I do that because there are countless studies that show our dogs synchronize their heart rate and can synchronize their respiratory rates to ours. I don't want my dogs to catch my lousy mood. I don't want my cat to catch my anxiety, my anger, my frustration. I don't want that to happen any more than I want to hang on to those emotions. So I fake it if I have to. I use the dog laugh. Let's take some environmental enrichment out of the zoos, out of the shelters, and bring it home.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.